Welcome to the Metro Show. My name is Trish Gazelle. This is the time we take out to talk about organizations, charitable organizations in our area, events maybe coming up, year-end giving, and an organization that has been around for a long time. We're going to get exact details on how long and what exactly they do. St. Patrick's Center, I'm sure you've heard about it. They're downtown, but maybe you don't know exactly what they do and how you can help. Well, that's what we're going to talk about for the next 30 minutes. So joining me in studio is Lori Phillips. She's the Chief Executive Officer of St. Patrick's Center. Hi, Lori. How are you?
Hi, Trish. Good. Thanks for having us.
Also, Kelly Peach. She's the Senior Director of Communications for St. Patrick's Center and my friend. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Trish. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Absolutely. You guys do such great work, but I know sometimes people, you know, they hear the name and, oh, yeah, St. Patrick's Center, but maybe they don't know exactly what you guys do and the work that you do every day. So let's just talk about that in general, what your organization does.
Sure. So St. Patrick's Center's been in St. Louis for 35 years. We work not only in St. Louis City and St. Louis County, but another six additional counties around the metro area. And we're the largest homeless services provider in the region. A lot of people don't know what that means. Homeless services is not only getting someone from homelessness into housing, but also providing support services, wraparound services, case management, and care and compassion for people as they need it. So we approach each client holistically and individually to make sure that all of the things that they need help with to stabilize and to maintain their lifestyle going forward are taken care of with our assistance.
And just kind of explain maybe, you know, when people hear homelessness and then what you guys do, you're not a shelter.
Thank
per
you.
Se.
No.
But let's just kind of explain that and maybe what the difference is.
Sure. So shelters are usually temporary in an emergency situation. What we do is we do long-term housing. So for our clients who find themselves homeless or at risk, we either want to prevent them from becoming homeless and coming into the system, or if they are homeless, we want to get them into a stable housing situation as quickly as we can. And so that means identifying locations where people will want to live, helping them with first and last month's rent, doing some rental assistance for them, and then helping them increase their income so that they can start to pay their own rent on their own. The other big piece of what we do is what we call case management or support services. So there are situations that have gotten people to homelessness. They may have had a medical issue. They may have a behavioral health issue. They may have had a job loss or a family separation. And so we work with people on all of those things so that we can get them to a place where they're stable again.
And sometimes people think, you know, just going off of what you just said, like, oh, they're homeless. They must have done something wrong. They're homeless. They must be on drugs. They're homeless. They must be a criminal. I mean, it's stuff that could happen to any one of us.
They say that the national statistic currently is that 40% of Americans are one paycheck away from becoming homeless.
That's a lot of people. Crazy high.
And part of what I love about my job, and I've been there for 12 years now, which is kind of a long time, is I get to tell stories. And so I get to meet with individuals, the people that Laurie are talking about. And just in this year-end campaign, we have a gentleman named Raynell who was homeless for 20 years. And we have a veteran, you know, who fell on hard times when he got back from service. We have a woman who was homeless on the streets, and to listen to what that must be like, you know, for a woman, how frightening it would be to be out on the streets at night. So each person truly comes to us with a different set of circumstances, and that's why our case management and our support is so important, because we drill down, we ask the right questions, and we figure out what is going on in each individual's life so that we can build a program for them that will help them to independence and the dignity and self-sufficiency.
I want to absolutely talk about how people listening can help and what's your immediate need, but what's the first step for someone who's homeless or facing homelessness? Like, how are they referred to you? Do they just walk in? How does it work?
Clients can be referred to us, but a lot of the people who come in our front door are people who know about us, word of mouth. Being homeless builds a community, and so a lot of people just know of the work that we do. And they show up at our front door. We meet with them. We do an intake. We assess their level of need. And then we determine what program makes the most sense for them. And then once we do that, we can refer them to the right program, either within our organization or maybe there's another organization that suits them better. And then provide that level of support and case management that Kelly was just talking about. Really getting to know the person and knowing exactly what what's going to work best for them and what where they want to go with their lives, not where we want them to go, where they want to go next in their life.
And there has to be some level of commitment on their part too, right? Like,
absolutely.
You know, it's not like just a temporary
shelter. Oh, yeah,
shelter.
They're invested in the, because you can't change a person unless the person wants to change. And if there are people that come in and hear how it's going to be going at St. Patrick's Center, what the case managers are going to ask them to do to improve their lives, if they're not on board, they can leave. And then we're going to be there when they decide that they are ready.
And what, you know, we hear news stories and obviously word of mouth, and sometimes people blow things up bigger than they are. But what's the homelessness status in St. Louis right now? Is it getting worse? Is it getting better? You know, you just hear stories and you never know what they're true. So what's the status now?
So I would say that based on our numbers, based on the data that we have, our numbers in St. Louis City are getting better. So the number of people who were counted in what we call our point in time count or our annual homeless census went down year over year from last year to this year, which is a really positive change. We're also making really great strides as a community and getting people into housing more quickly than we were before. So we've set different goals for ourselves as organizations to try and move people into housing in 30 days or less, if that makes sense for them. For some people, it doesn't make sense, and we're cognizant of that, and we're sensitive to that. But we're learning more about how to practice. We're learning about housing first and practicing housing first, which reduces all barriers to housing. We at St. Patrick's Center practice harm reduction, which means we don't have criteria for people. You don't have to be sober for 90 days. You don't have to be employed to be ready for housing. Everybody's ready for housing. We want you in housing first to stabilize and then set and achieve the goals that you want to set and achieve. That just makes the most sense. So over the 4 years that I've been at St. Patrick's Center, I've seen big changes in the way that we as a community come together and partner and collaborate on new solutions and evidence-based practices to really move the needle on how many people are currently homeless and then how we can prevent homelessness for others.
We are talking to Lori Phillips and Kelly Peach from St. Patrick's Center. StPatrickCenter.org is the website. And I want to talk about a couple of things you have going on, especially year-end giving, Women's Night Out. I want to talk more in depth about homelessness in St. Louis. But what's your immediate need right now? If someone's out there, you know, listening to this going, I want to help, I want to do something right now, you know, what's the immediate need?
We need money.
Money, honey.
I mean, that's really the number one answer. Charity needs resources to operate. And so, of course, at this time of the year, people are making their year-end giving decisions, and we are asking for people to be generous, not only with their treasure, but also time and talent. We need that throughout the year. We have a lot of fundraisers, and we have a lot of things going on in our five-story building. So for folks that may not be able to give money, they might be able to give in-kind things that they have either bought to donate, or perhaps they own a business of things that are extra that might be helpful in our mission.
And you have a good list of items.
We do have lots of wish lists on our website. But to be truthful, we are raising money in November and December and really all the other months of the year as well.
Okay, so year-end giving, if you're, you know, doing it at the end of the year for tax purposes, StPatrickCenter.org, you can donate right online. If you need to speak to somebody, the phone number's on the website. But they need money to buy this stuff because I was kind of telling you guys before we started this interview, last year I had gone on your website and I just saw a couple things that you were in need of. And so I went and bought some, and it's so easy to drop stuff off, by the way, at St. Patrick's Center. They're right off Tucker, and you go around the back and somebody will come out and get it from your car. You don't even have to give out. It's really easy.
You've been there.
Yeah, I have been there. But this year I was like, oh my God, I think I'm just going to give cash because I'm not a shopper. So the list, there's two types of people. Let me just do cash, or people who really enjoy shopping for these wish list items, and they're out there. They have a long one because I didn't realize that a moving in kit to their new home, once you find someone housing, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, just think about it. You know, if you're moving or if your kid's going off to school and you're getting the dorm room ready, I mean, there's a lot of stuff you guys need to move someone into a new home.
Oh, absolutely. Trish, you know, I did it about a year ago. I took two of my three children to Target and the move-in kit wish list. And I thought, oh, this will be 30 minutes and we'll be in and out of here. Sheets, towels, laundry basket, broom. 90 minutes and three shopping carts later, I had almost everything that was on the list.
Oh,
and I
gosh.
Don't say that to scare anybody away, because we can use just one of those items. We have, you know, we have clients who are moving in every single day, and we need to be able to provide them with an alarm clock or an iron so that they can get themselves ready for work.
Pillowcase,
or,
sheets.
Yeah, sheets and towels.
Yeah. So you could just buy a couple items on the list.
You can just buy a couple items. But the kind of the fun thing for me in going through that whole experience is, number one, I didn't realize how little you have when you're starting out or starting over.
Yeah.
But number two, I thought about how great it would be to be able to help that person move in. Like to actually physically put the sheets on the bed and put the towels in the bathroom and make sure everything's, you know, the dishes and the glasses are in the kitchen. How exciting that would be for somebody who hasn't had that for such a long time. And it just really, for me, it just really filled my heart with joy that I was able to participate in something like that and know that that gives somebody such a great first step in their start towards stability.
Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of that stuff's on sale now. So, you know, if you're out and you're thinking, oh, take that wish list with you, because and it is a great feeling. And I like that you went with your kids, too. Kids love giving to charity. If you put a kid in front of a charity, it's like the first thing they want to do. They'd give up anything they have. I mean, kids are so great about this kind of stuff.
And they come up with the best ideas for fundraisers.
They really
do. Was a little Catholic school in Webster Groves a number of years ago that decided to collect 1,000,000 pennies.
I remember that. That was a news story.
They did. And they had a bank to work with them. And they had these giant, giant supersized penny containers that looked like a roll of pennies, but they were huge. And the bank would process all that for them. And they gave us a $10,000 donation. And that's one school in St. Louis.
Yeah,
you know,
maybe.
What group of kids decided to do.
If the school's hearing this, you know, January is a good time to start that, right?
I mean, resolutions.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I know you want to talk about and explain kind of, you have something coming up called Women's Night Out or Women's Night Program.
Actually, it's a program. So it's
Women's Night Out. I don't know. I made that up.
We actually we try to get them in.
Yeah. Yeah. we want them to stay in, not go out. So Women's Night Program is a program that we have at St. Patrick's Center that has been with us almost as long as we've been open. So kind of the core starting or foundation of St. Patrick's Center was our day services treatment program for people with behavioral health issues who found themselves homeless. Women's Night Program is an offshoot of that. So it's the same program with special programming and clinical activities for women. We have 20 women in our program. They can be with us 24 hours a day if that's what makes sense for them. And then we provide them not only someplace to sleep, someplace to shower, someplace to do their laundry, but then also all of the services that they would need, including intensive case management, that help them move forward in their lives. So that would be individual counseling, group counseling. We have meditation classes. We have substance use disorder education, AA, NA, all kinds of things that can help somebody get their feet back on the ground. And then at the end of a relatively short period of time in that program, usually about 4 months, depending on the client, we move them into a permanent housing situation. And then if they need it, continue those support services afterward. And that continuation of support services when they've moved into permanent housing is so critically important for the women in this particular program. It's an incredibly important program to us. Kelly mentioned this earlier. You know, as a woman, you think about how difficult it would be. I think about sometimes how difficult it is to walk to my car in the dark. Imagine having to spend the night on the street night after night after night and not knowing where you're going to go or where, you know, what you're going to do and who's out there. Right. And so it's just for us, it's such an important program. And we're having a fundraiser specifically for it in January. And we're really excited about that fundraiser.
Is that info on your website? The January
it's
fundraiser?
Coming.
It's coming.
Yeah, it's
okay,
coming.
Good.
It'll be January 30th, I believe.
January 30th. It's a breakfast. It's a relatively low dollar fundraiser. So it's at the Chase.
Okay, great. So keep your eye out for that. That's specifically for the Women's Night Program.
Exactly. Okay. Like Victoria, I mentioned earlier, she moved into housing in 2018 through that program. And I just recently got to interview her again. You know, we made a really neat year-end video that she's in, but she talks about how different her life is today that she, now that she's housed and gotten, she's speaking to her children again. She feels so much better about herself again. You know, there were nights on the street where she couldn't even close her eyes. She says, you just don't sleep. I mean, their phrase, sleep on the streets, you don't sleep if you're a woman on the streets. And so to watch that human transformation is very powerful. And it happens every day at St. Patrick's Center. We always say miracles happen, and it sounds cheesy, but we've seen them. lives, the power of a human to change himself or herself is just tremendous. And we see that happening at St. Patrick's Center on a regular basis.
StPatrickCenter.org if you want to find out more. Any of what we talked about, make a donation, get the wish list to go shopping. They really could use your help for this end of the year, and especially during the holidays. I mean, just think about it. You know, it's cold. It's Christmas. Whatever you can do for them would be greatly appreciated. I do want to ask, you know, there are some, I live down here in the city, and there's certain streets you drive by, and it's heartbreaking. You see people sleeping on a bench under piles of covers. And I mean, there's one street, I don't know which one it is, but there's just a lot of people. Like, do they know about you guys and they don't want help, or do they not know what? I mean,
some people just aren't ready.
Okay.
Some people are struggling with mental illness and substance abuse. And we, like I said earlier, we're here when they are ready. The most important thing I think to point out to the community is if you see someone struggling with homelessness, make sure they know about St. Patrick's Center. There's a real good chance that they do and that they might come to us for lunch. We've been serving a hot lunch for probably all of our 35 years, ever since we would have maybe had the original funding to do that. But Edith created a casserole program back in 1984 that in which she found teams in the community, such as Catholic parishes, to take a day of the month, pick a casserole, and make it every month and bring it to St. Patrick's Center on the same day of every month.
That's a great idea.
So we have 30 frozen casseroles being delivered every day, and we provide, I think it was like 150,000 meals last year for people at very, very low cost. I think we have to pay for the silver pans that they go in. These folks are donating their time and their groceries. And once that meal goes into the belly, different decisions can be made and other things can be thought about. Because if you're homeless, you not only do you have the weather to deal with and what's going to happen when nightfall occurs, but what are you going to do if you're starving? That's really all you can think about is getting something to eat. So we've been able to bring a lot of people to St. Patrick's Center just by having them directed to come have lunch with us at noon in the Shamrock Club.
Well, while we're on this topic, because there's also certain streets where I see people, you know, on the corner and they're asking for money and I never know what to do. Your heart breaks. Sometimes I do. Then I heard you're not supposed to and I'm really confused. And I know a lot of people are too. Panhandlers, do you give or do you not give? Is there a right or wrong answer?
So our agency position is that we don't support giving money or things to people who are asking for them on the street. It's everyone's individual decision. So if you see someone that you want to give something to, please feel free to go ahead and do that. But from an agency perspective and from a homeless services perspective, we believe that things like our community meals program or even coming in and doing an intake and assessment where people can not only meet our staff but meet other people who are in the same situation and working towards some goals really helps them move forward in their lives. And again, like Kelly said, if people aren't ready today, that's okay. We're there tomorrow. And if they're not ready tomorrow, we're there next week and we're there next year. We're always going to be there for people who need our help and want to engage in our programming. And so, you know, it's so important for us to be able to connect in a meaningful way and have that social interaction and build that trust. Trust is such an important thing for people who find themselves homeless because they have a lack of it in their lives for whatever reason. And so we want to pull them in and engage them and wrap our care and compassion around them and say, we're here for you. Trust us. Let us work with you and make this better.
We have a street team that is out every day called Mobile Outreach, and that's what they do. And they can tell who are the legitimately homeless folks and who are the con artists. And we just worked with Fox 2 recently in the month of November on a series they did about panhandling, and they got some really good footage of some fakers. And we helped with a ride-along so Mandy could go along and see what we do and how we know who to help. And again, they're out there building those relationships of trust, and it may take a year or two to bring a person inside. And I'll get that message from Alvin, hey, I've been working on this guy for 2 years and he came in today.
Those are
those miracles that I talk about.
Yeah, fulfilling for you guys. Your whole goal is to not only get them into housing, but get them back on their feet.
Absolutely.
If I could sum up this whole conversation.
Yeah, just to have people regain their independence, to be self-sufficient, to have the dignity of a home. It's a right that we forget about, right? But everyone deserves to be in housing.
And again, it's not always fault of their own. Like, you know, I live in such a bubble. It's like, well, if something happens to me, I'll go to my parents or I'll go to one of my three sisters. Or some people don't have that support. And that's
And they've they've burned bridges. Yeah. They've broken relationships. They've the couch surfing offers ran out. You know, so people come to us devoid of some of those things that we all take for granted, that we have like a mom or a dad or a cousin or whoever we could go stay with if we lost our jobs and we were that one paycheck away from homelessness. But people come to us where a lot of those bridges have been burned.
But the beauty of what our programming can do for folks who have burned those bridges or have lost those relationships or distanced themselves from the ones they love is that the work that we do with them will help them reunify with a lot of those family members. And we see that all the time. We see people who have not spoken to their children in years who reunify with their children. We see people whose parents send us thank you notes for helping their child, no matter how old their child is, right? So my child is 45 years old, but I've got a 70-year-old parent writing a note and saying, thank you so much for helping my son or daughter.
Oh,
and I think that's really the important part of this. You know, we talk a lot about self-sufficiency, but if you think about it, nobody's completely self-sufficient. We all have a village of people around us to support us when things don't go the right way. And St. Patrick Center is, for our clients, that first step back into that village and finding that support network and system where then people can move forward and continue.
How's the restaurant doing?
The restaurant is currently shuttered because when we became a housing first agency, we had to make sure that every one of our programs had a housing component. So if you had a job training program and maybe the people who were in it weren't exactly working on getting into housing, we have to restructure that.
Gotcha. So...
so we're working on it.
Yeah.
We visited other cities that have similar programs, and we're trying to figure out what the best model fit is for St. Patrick Center and for the location we have. We do have that beautiful restaurant that we just built out about 5 years ago, so we'd really like to put it back into use. We just want to make sure that the programming is appropriate for the clients.
You tried. But you'll come up with something better.
We will.
For sure. StPatrickCenter.org, if, again, you want to... give something on their wish list. We have about 9 more minutes, so let's just kind of recap if someone's just tuning in. Your immediate needs for the holiday season for St. Patrick Center. We kind of talked about the wish list on your website that is basically a move-in kit. So if people are just getting into housing for the first time, you have the wish list up there, which they can shop the whole thing or parts of it.
Right. Sheets, towels, broom, mop, iron, alarm clock, dishes, even just a set of 4 glasses are helpful for people who are moving into their first house or apartment in a long time. We do a lot of drives throughout the year, so a lot of schools or church organizations will do scarves and gloves and hats when it's cold outside. One of the things we really need during the summer months is deodorant. And
oh, yeah.
We always need socks and underwear because socks and underwear have to be new. When we give them to our clients. And so those are always things that we need. We also have a food pantry at St. Patrick Center for our clients. We're very fortunate to be able to have our clients shop there without any cost to them. So a lot of times we'll get donations of food, non-perishable and sometimes perishable food, because we do have refrigeration and freezing. So, you know, we can take meat or milk or eggs or cheese or canned goods and boxes of macaroni and cheese or cereal, all those things that help our clients move forward in their lives. And then, you know, kind of stock their pantry, fill their pantry, and know that they've got a place to go to be safe and warm and full.
And also, not only those items that we just talked about that Lori went over, but also volunteer. I know I went to a Catholic school, Ursuline and St. Margaret Mary, and we all had to do service hours. So
yes,
keep that in mind, everyone. But St. Patrick Center, obviously a Catholic organization, but help people of any
right,
walk
absolutely.
Of life.
Right.
But you get those service hours in.
And then, like I mentioned earlier, we have some pretty fun fundraisers. You know, so 2019 kind of kicks off our event season, and we'll be coming out on February 8th at Hilton St. Louis at the ballpark with Trivia Party.
I did that once.
Yes, you did. And it's...
what's the theme this year?
It's changing to St. Patrick Center Trivia Party.
Oh,
so,
cool.
We went from many years of sports trivia,
yeah,
which really was all about guys. Okay,
right.
So we needed to add in the ladies, and then we went to a he said, she said concept for a few years.
Yep, that was
and
fun.
Now we're just turning it into a big party. And that'll be on February 8th.
Like
and
that.
It takes a lot of volunteers to pull off a fundraiser. After that, the Young Friends will get together at Schlafly Tap Room on March 8th and have the Irish Party. So that's a totally different audience. It doesn't have to be young. It could be young at heart. But it's really a night of having cocktails and buying raffle baskets and dancing to a DJ and having a great time for a good cause. And as the big events that are coming up in June on the 1st and the 3rd are the 35th anniversary of our Irish Open dinner auction and golf tournament.
Great.
Those are gigantic events at St. Louis Union Station Hotel and Norwood Hills Country Club. And again, great, great volunteer opportunities, especially for folks that work full time. Because, you know, we're kind of a Monday through Friday operation like any other business. Not a ton going on the weekends. So if you can get involved with our events, those happen on the weekends or they happen in the evenings. And that's another way to volunteer.
And also the breakfast, January 30th. For the Women's Night program, just keep checking their website, stpatrickcenter.org. Also social media, too. They'll be posting these events if you want more information. But in these last remaining minutes, let's talk about, we talked about volunteer hours. We talked about the wish list donations, but also just monetary donations for year-end giving. You know, if you're looking at what your finances are going to be for the next year, maybe your tax situation, and realize, oh, I can give a little bit more this year before the new year, please thank St. Patrick's Center, because that's what makes you guys run, right?
Right. And a donation of any amount helps. I mean, so it somebody doesn't need to send in $5,000. $25 will help us get somebody an ID that they need. $100 will help us either pay a utility bill or maybe buy a pair of work boots for somebody who's just gotten a new job. So any amount of money that someone feels that they can provide to St. Patrick's Center for our mission to end homelessness is put to good use immediately.
I love that Mother Teresa quote where she said, or wait, it's St. Teresa now. She says, we can do no great things, only small things with great love. And I communicate that a lot when I'm out speaking, just because people can only give what they can give, and it makes a difference in the life of someone else. And just to give the community a little bit of an idea of how many people we help, last year, 5,900 people directly assisted, and we provided housing support to 1,500 folks, and this would be, and their families. It could be a mom and kids or something. 620 new housing placements. And then 400 folks and their families we were able to prevent homelessness for. We didn't talk about that too much, but we can also, we have programs in place to help people who are at risk of becoming homeless. Could be just getting them over the hump with utility bills so that they don't become homeless. So we really kept pretty busy last year, and our theme this year is housing changes everything. And we think we have proof in the people that we help.
And I think most people are giving people, and they want to give. They just don't know how or what or who. So, again, just, you know, think about keeping your donations local. And St. Patrick's Center, stpatrickcenter.org is where you can either donate online, find their wish list, find out about events coming up, read about all that they do. And, again, donating items is so incredibly easy. You pull around to the back. The last time I did, two guys came out. They unloaded my car for me. I didn't even have to get out. So it's really easy. So thank you both for coming on this morning. Merry Christmas. Hopefully we can get some donations rolling in. And, you know, let me know when your events are coming up. We'll do this again in about 6 months just to promote some of them.
And thanks so much to St. Louis for being such a giving community.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're so fortunate to live in a city like this.
Yeah. And, you know, people from St. Louis love St. Louis. We love to promote our own. We want to fix our own problems. And homelessness is a problem that's not going away anytime soon. I know that you do solve many of the cases, but then there's some right back of that waiting for help.
So right.
It's a need. We got to do something. Thank you again, Lori Phillips, the Chief Executive Officer, and Kelly Peach, the Senior Director of Communications for St. Patrick's Center, stpatrickcenter.org, for anything we talked about, for donations or their wish list. And thank you all for listening to The Metro Show.